Hello, everybody. Here we are again, another Friday, another quarter. As usual, very well surrounded by our executive team and other people here. Rodrigo Costa, our CEO, Gonçalo Soares, CFO, and João Conceição, our COO, who will all be ready to answer any questions you may have. But as usual, let's start with Rodrigo's opening remarks. Rodrigo?
Thank you, Ana. You're all set? Yeah. Welcome all to our conference call. Our results came according to the market expectations. We are performing within our plans without events that deserve any special attention. Port gas and electrogas investments are moving forward, operationally doing very well and financially contributing the way we expect, as the rest of the company. Overall, EBITDA was 3.8% higher than in the first 9 months of 2007, and including the 378 million and 400 euros are the 4 million profit from the sale last July of the LPG business that belonged to Portgas. Financials were stable and net profit was slightly higher than in the same period of last year. As you know, our results include the payment of the special levy on energy companies. As we speak, the government is closing the 2019 budget that may include some changes on the special tax. In a few weeks, we will know the result. We are not expecting anything more negative than what it is right now. The court is late on their decisions. As you know, I was waiting for the court feedback before the summer, and that didn't happen. We will see when we will have news from the court. If we win the case, we will have the money back. If we lose, we don't have to pay fines or extra interest. Our board already discussed the topic, and we are not changing our position. We pay the tax, and we maintain our court dispute. As you are aware, we had a change on the government regarding the supervision of the energy sector. Energy is now part of the Environment and Energy Transition Ministry responsibilities, and the new Secretary of State already announced publicly that he wants to approve our long-term investment plan that got a positive review from the energy regulator, and those are good news. It's obvious to us that the bet on the renewable energy generation will keep moving forward, and it will be a priority for the future. We keep working on the economic and technical studies for the submarine cable connection with the Morocco Kingdom, and it will be necessary a few more months before we can anticipate both government decisions. We stick to our strategic plan. We are working on evaluating different opportunities for investment, but that will take some time, and we will not make any concessions. We want to make sure we make a very good use of our resources, and we deliver on the results we commit to. All in all, we remain quite enthusiastic about our performance and the future. Gonçalo will now share with us our results overview. Gonçalo.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Hi, hello, everybody. Good afternoon. On the 9 months that we have on this year, what we could tell is that we are slightly ahead of what we had in budget and what we had, therefore, on the business plan. So in the 9 months, our EBITDA is growing around 4%, 3.8% precisely, and net profit around 2%. This EBITDA increase is driven mainly, as you know, by the integration of Portgas. We'll talk a little bit more about that, by also the costs being all still below, and you know that this is always true until the last quarter, and by the sale of the LPG business. On the financial performance side, we are slightly better despite the fact that we have more debt because our cost of debt is also continue to come down, but we continue to have the very negative effect of the extraordinary levy on our account. And just a reminder, and as you saw in October, S&P upgraded us again. I think although this has, as you may imagine, limited impact on the cost of debt, it is very rewarding to see that that the rating agencies believe in our work. It reinforces the solid position that we have of being the best rated company in Portugal. Slide number three is just the main numbers that that you have. I would probably skip that and go straight to slide number 4. What you see here is the evolution of the 10-year Portuguese bond. You see the trailing evolution. You see that on it has a trend of coming down. On 17, you see that the average bond yield was around 3.43%, and from October to September of this year, it was 1.87. So this is the story of this year's rate, which continue to impact on the negative side the remuneration of the assets and have a limited impact during this year in interest costs, because we anticipated this drop and interest costs were lower in the previous year. So this, of course, has made that the base rate of electricity came down from 6.3 to 5.2, and gas also from the low sixes to the mid five and a half to 5.8. On slide number 5, you can see CapEx. CapEx, I can tell you, although it's slightly below what we had last year, we knew and we told you when we presented the business plan that this would be a lower year in terms of CapEx versus what we have in the average of the business plan. That being said, I can tell you that we are on track to be slightly better than we anticipated. And I think that in relation to CapEx and transfers to RAV, we should be slightly ahead of what we have in the business plan. And so I'd say nothing major to comment on this yet. Portgas already had around 14 million euros in terms of CapEx and close to 12 million in terms of transfers to RAV, and everything is, let's say, going according to plan. On slide number 6, you just see the adds in terms of the different buckets of the assets, and it's, as usual, the same dynamic: electricity without premium and natural gas coming down, and electricity with premium going up a little bit, and Portgas having a lot on a year-on-year basis. On slide 7, you can see how this breaks into the remuneration of the different assets. You see that in electricity, it's basically an impact of the change in the rate of return. As I said, it comes down from 708 to 592. In assets with premium, and this represents most of the drop of these almost 20 million euros that we have in electricity. So completely normal, completely within our expectations. Natural gas, same kind of story. So it's basically an impact of the rate of return, although in the case of Portgas, since you still have a little bit of growth of RAV, you compensate a little bit for that, but it's mostly a negative impact derived by the rates of return. So I'd say nothing very different there also. Moving to slide number 8, into OPEX, you see that overall costs come down or go up 15%. This is, again, basically because of the inclusion of Portgas. If we excluded it, total costs would come down by 4%. If you go to the next slide, which is you decompose full OPEX, you see that apart from the pass-through costs that are in the middle, core OPEX is going up 10 million, 15%. What we can tell you is that if we excluded Portgas, the core OPEX costs, which are the ones that we control more directly and are the ones that are mostly within the cap, not all of them, but most of them are within the cap, are coming down around 2%. And the costs separately of Portgas are actually coming down a little bit more than those 2%. Again, and to remind you, as you and then João may add a little bit more on how the transition and the integration of Portgas is going along during the Q&A, but everything is going okay. But this was not a year that we expected to have any major or any cost savings. We know that synergies are very limited, as we've always told you. There is at least some cost savings, but they are not to be, you will not see them still in the accounts of this year. So on slide number 10, you can see the full impact in terms of EBITDA. So EBITDA is going up by 3.8, but you see the dynamic that I told you. So asset remuneration coming down, port gas being added, so that more or less compensates. OPEX contribution now is very positive. I would say that this will, as the year goes by, diminish a little bit in terms of a year-on-year logic. If we look below EBITDA on slide number 11, again, there is nothing very strange about depreciation. It's just the Portgas integration. Apart from that, I'd say nothing very out of the ordinary. In terms of financial results, as I told you, and we'll see it a little bit better in the next slide, is a dynamic of debt going up, despite the fact that it goes up less than it should. So it has actually decreased since the year end, and we'll see that. And the cost of debt slightly coming down, but not as much as it used to, because we already anticipated that drop in terms of cost. We did our refinancing at the beginning of the year. And so along the year, as you've seen, the cost has been very stable at this 2.3% that we've seen in the last few quarters. Tax are basically very similar to last year. Effective tax rate without the levy is around 27%, very similar to the one last year, so not very different. If you put the levy, it will go up to around 39%. So in slide number 12, you see the evolution of debt. You see that debt is actually coming down 112 million. This is the story that we knew was going to happen. We knew that positive cash flow generation, given that CapEx is coming down a little bit, would be very positive. You also know, and it's in the footnote, that part of this derives from the evolution of tariff deficits. You have to be mindful that this evolution of tariff deficits, it's not always in the, let's say, positive direction as it is to us. It's something that fluctuates. And so in this year, as was last year, it has been, and I think we've been recuperating, and it has been a positive impact. It may be that next year it's the other way around. That being said, the trend of having positive cash flow on a recurrent basis, I'd say, is still there. Okay. Looking at slide 13 and how net profit evolves, this all adds up to net profit going up around 2% with the logic of EBITDA going up and below EBITDA because of the depreciations coming down. So in terms of final remarks, as Rodrigo said, we are very much within what we said. I think that we have compensated the lower asset remuneration with Portgas and the sale of the LPG business. We are doing, I think things are going according to plan. I do want to make a remark to you that the evolutions you see here on this quarter, on a year-on-year basis, are going to change a little bit on the last quarter. As you know, last year, Portgas was already consolidated in the next quarter. So when you see here net income going up in the third quarter and EBITDA going up in the third quarter, these trends on a year-on-year basis, on a full-year basis, will be less and will become in the lower range, driven basically by the fact that within these first 9 months, Portgas was adding on a year-on-year basis, and in the last year, you will not see that impact, but you will still see the negative impact of the asset remuneration. So with this, I conclude my remarks, and we open the floor to any questions that you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And to the audience today, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. And just a reminder, if you're joining us via speakerphone today, make sure your mute function is turned off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. Once again, star 1 for any questions. And we'll pause for just a moment. And once again, that is star 1 if you do have a question. And we will go first to Sara Piccini at Mediobanca.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. I have a few. So the first one is on the next regulatory review for gas that is going to happen this year. If you have any expectation on where the regulator could make some changes or if you feel stability for this review, just to have a sense of your expectation. And also if you can please remind us the timing of the review, so the timing of the next proposal and the final decision. The second question is on the CapEx. Do you feel comfortable with a level of 130 million for this year? Also, we have seen on the press the government commitment on a floating wind farm in Portugal. How much of this project could give you more upside on CapEx? Another question is on consolidation opportunities. If you could please remind us which consolidation opportunities would you consider, if you have any update on the renewal of some concession in electricity distribution in Portugal. Thank you.
Hello, Sara. This is João Pedro speaking. Regarding the first question on the new regulation for natural gas, let me start by your second part, which is the timing. Well, what is official is that the regulator needs to do the proposal by the 15th of April of next year, and then it makes the final approval of all the variables and the new regulatory period by the 15th of June. Typically, our regulator makes a public consultation on the major guidelines for the new regulation, but there is no official date. They can do it quite in advance. They can do it closer to this 15th of April. So we are expecting this public consultation to happen most likely in the beginning of 2019. Regarding your first part of the question, in terms of change or stability, honestly, our expectations is that the regulatory framework is not going to change significantly. So we are expecting the major issues to be stable. Of course, adjusting the regulatory variables to the current situation on the financial markets, but apart from that, we are not expecting major changes in what we have today.
Hi, regarding CapEx, what we already said in the capital markets day is that this year CapEx should be a little bit below the average that you have within the business plan on a four-year basis. And should be closer. And when we spoke at the Capital Markets Day, we said that it should be closer to 100 million mark. We actually think that the year is going a little bit better than anticipated. It should be higher than that. I would not assume that it reaches that number that you said, which is, close to where the average of the business plan will be. Okay. Rodrigo?
Okay, on your last question, you know, and somehow we have the same type of comment every time we talk about future, you know, whatever is the local opportunities outside, you know, we don't know anything yet where we can work and think about the near-term future. Then, you know, we don't have anything really to say at the moment. You know, we are expecting, you know, people to decide on the rules of the tenders. We are far from knowing what's going to be the final solution, and only after that we will be able to look into that. For the moment, you know, we don't want to expect late at all, because we made no decision yet, even if we, you know, with how much enthusiasm we are going to look for those. Outside, you know, we keep working. I always like to remember internally and externally that, it took us like 6 or 7 years to get to the opportunities we end up doing, catching. And, you know, we are not expecting this time to wait for another 6 or 7 years. You know, we hopefully it's going to be much sooner and inside our strategic plan guidelines. But, you know, whenever we have something that it's time to share, we will.
Many thanks.
Thank you.
And we'll go next to Jorge Gumeres at Haitong.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking my questions. I have three. Firstly, regarding new projects in Portugal, if we assume that in 2-3 years' time, the government objectives of 1 gigawatt of new solar capacity is installed, how much that could represent for you in terms of new required investment? Secondly, can you provide us with a target for net debt in the end of this year, of 2019, I mean? And finally, and maybe this is the probably the most important one, there were recently some proposals linking the evolution, future evolution of special energy tax to the evolution of electricity system debt. In that sense, firstly, what would be your view about such system debt ending by 2022, 2023? Do you agree or not, or do you believe it makes sense, such horizon? And secondly, if that is the case, would you expect sales to end in a more or less simultaneous timetable with the electricity system debt? Thank you very much.
Yes, one.
Hello. Regarding your first question, these bets on solar and depends on many variables and depends if other type of technology are to be phased out or if they are to be kept in the system. However, in the nutshell, directly linked to solar penetration or new solar projects penetration, we foresee the development of some overhead lines and some substation in the next 4 years to come, with a total capex around between 70 to 80 million euros.
Sorry for an add-on. Are those 70 or 80 million in your current investment plan?
Yes.
Okay. So relative
they are.
To your second,
Yes, they are.
Okay, thank you.
So relative to your second question, the easy answer, the net debt in the end of the year should be not very far from where it is right now. So it's at around 2.640. It should be around that, plus 10, plus minus 10. It should vary a lot around the value that it is right now.
On the last one, as I said on the beginning, it's you know, the government is still working on the rules they want for the way they will change or not, says in the coming years, and I think it's better to wait to see what will be the decisions, and then we will be able to comment. What you said, you know, it's what people are saying. You know, it's true. They say that they are relating the end of the tax with the end of the electricity deficit. You know, but for the moment, you know, the topic is so complex. I think we should wait and you know, see what is going to be the decision. As I always say, what we have today, you know, it's that we have a tax that we believe it's we shouldn't have. It's not properly set. We are disputing the decision on the court. We decided to pay because, you know, we just believe it's better, even financially, for us to do it that way. Other people have a different opinion. We prefer to focus totally in our, in you know, we want to spend our time within the scope of our operations. And, you know, in the end of the day, as I said, you know, if there is some change, it will be beneficial to us if it is beneficial to others. And if in the end the story is more negative, you know, it will have a negative impact in all of us. I'm positive regarding the future. You know, I think this tax, one way or the other, will have to end. And regarding REN, you know, as I said before, it doesn't make sense what we have today. But you know, we leave it to the lawyers to dispute that with the government. We prefer that way.
Thank you.
And once again, if you do have a question, please press star one on your touchtone phone. And we'll pause for just a moment. And we will go back to Sarah Pacini.
Yes, thank you. I have a follow-up. So you are looking for external opportunities that, depending on the size, it will be financed through debt or another capital increase. I just would like to know which is the level of net debt to EBITDA that you think is the roof above which you will go again to the market instead of using debt to finance the acquisition. Thanks.
Sarah, I don't think we can really comment on you, what you just said, because you know we have, as Gonzalo said, we have our strategic plan. We provide, you know, good data and good guidance on what we want to do and how we want to do it. You know, you mentioned capital increase. We never mentioned any capital increase. You know, we said that we can go up to a certain amount of investment in the following 3-4 years. And this is where we are. I don't know if Gonzalo wants to comment anything else.
I'm just telling what I can add is that we have a strong commitment with our investment grade rating. We have strong commitments with the rating agencies and with them on how the metrics are going to evolve in the next 2 years. Our business plan is coherent with these metrics that we've made with them, and that's the most important thing. Mostly are things related to liquidity that we have, to the evolution of FFO net debt. These are the things that we not only define in our business plan, but given what the commitments that we establish with the rating agencies and with the discussions that we have with them. So it's more relating to this than really the net debt ceiling or whatever. There's a myriad of things that we talk with them, namely these two that I've told you. Okay. Thank you.
So it was just to reiterate that you put the investment grade as a priority before going for acquisitions.
Always.
And just one final reminder that if you do have a question, to please press star one at this time. And we'll go to Arthur Sitbon at Morgan Stanley.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I would just have two. The first one, could you guide on net debt for the end of the year? And the second one would be, could you comment on where consensus stands for the year? It's at 114 million euros of net income for 2018, and this implies almost 10% decrease versus last year, while as of 9 months, net income is up. So I was wondering if you could comment on that, please. Thank you.
I can comment on both. So although we don't give a lot of guidance, relative to the first one, I already answered, but perhaps we are not in the call. So what I said is that net debt should be around a little bit up or down from where we are currently. So net debt that we have at the end of third quarter should not be radically different from what we should have at the end of the year. But relative to your question, and I'm not going to give you specific guidance, what you have to bear in mind is what I also said during the presentation, which is last year, Portgás was already consolidated in the last quarter. That means that the consolidation in the first 9 months is have a positive impact year-on-year that are a counterweight to the negative impact of the decrease of rates in terms of asset remuneration. But in the last quarter, you will still have the negative impact of the rates coming down as they should, but you will not have this positive year-on-year impact of Portgás. It is this impact that makes the fact that then you see things positive now, but they will become less positive and even negative in the last quarter and in a full year basis because of this. So if you do this calculation, you should see more or less that it should go to numbers perhaps closer to where you are seeing in terms of consensus. I think consensus is seeing this effect that I'm talking to you about. Okay? Thank you.
Arthur, if you look at the consensus we have on our website, we're very comfortable with the average for EBITDA and for net income. The median is also a good number, taking into concern that we are not here. People were not thinking about the profit from LPG, from the LPG sale.
Thank you.
And with no additional questions at this time, Ms. Fernandez, I'll turn the call back over to you for any additional remarks.
Okay, so if there are no further questions, thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
Last call of the year.
Yeah, it's the last call of the year. I mean, you know
where
to find me.
Too early to wish Merry Christmas. But...
yeah. So if you have any questions, you know where to find me. And in the meantime, have a great weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.